Why do some people believe and others do not? I don't know. See you next week. Well, it's a question that we can address, but I don't think we can ever definitively answer. And there's a distinction in today's gospel I think will help us to see why some people will accept God into their life and others won't. And that's the distinction that Jesus compares between the wise and the learned and the little ones. And the characteristics that they have help us in our spiritual journey. So let's look at those two groups. Let's start with the wise and the learned. So when Jesus is saying that the wise and the learned aren't going to accept them, he's speaking from experience. You have the rabbis and the scribes who have been rejecting him throughout his ministry. Now, these are the two groups of people that should be screaming from the mountaintops. We have found the Messiah, because in their wisdom and as they're learning, they've read the scriptures. They've read the prophecies. They should see crystal clear who Jesus Christ is and what he is coming to do. Yet we see in the scriptures most are rejecting him. I say most and not all because we see someone like Nicodemus, who is a Pharisee and part of the Sanhedrin, who's at least listening. He's listening to what Jesus has to say. Now, we have to keep in mind, Jesus is not condemning a pursuit of wisdom. He's not condemning learning. When you read the Gospels, you'll see he's making intellectual arguments. He's appealing to the scriptures. And at that time, if you could read, you were learned. You had an education. And we hope that that meant that you were very wise. So what Jesus is saying is not that these things are bad, but there's an intellectual pride that can get in the way of our relationship with God. There's an intellectual pride that says, you have nothing else to teach me. I am as smart as I am. Go away. God has nothing to teach me. I do not need revelation in my life. So this is what Christ is warning us not to fall into. Let's look at the other side now. Let's look at the little ones. So we're not talking about babies. We're talking about, you know, post-age of reason, little ones that can think. So what is it about the little ones? What characteristic do little ones have that allows them to accept God into their life? Well, first, there is trust. Instinctively, little ones trust, right? We have to teach kids, do not talk to, because they will. And not only will they talk to them, they'll go off with them, right? So we have to teach them, unfortunately, that not everybody is trustworthy. And as we grow up, we see this in our lives. People can break our trust. People can hurt us. So sometimes we think, well, if humans can hurt us, what about a God that we call Father? What about a God that we call Son? Can we ultimately trust God? Well, there were times I used to think when something would go wrong in my God, why did you allow this to happen? But now that I'm getting a little gray, you know, a little wisdom's coming in there, I look back and I see most of the times that things go wrong in my life, they are man-made. A human being, or I, you know, or human being, did something wrong. I've said it before, but I'll say it again. Imagine if every single person in the world just followed four simple one-syllable words. Thou shalt not kill. Could you imagine what our world would look like if every single human being on the earth, just very simple, thou shalt not kill? We'd have no newspapers, we'd have no news, right? We'd have nothing to do, right? But think about it. Then add another simple word, steal, covet. Right? This is what God is telling us to do, but we break each other's trusts. And unfortunately, when we experience that among our peers, we want to then project that up to our relationship with God. Next, the little ones have an innocence to them. You ever talk to, like, I don't know, an 8-9-year-old, and they start to see things in the world, they're just like, that just doesn't seem right. And they come to you and say, why is this happening? And you give an answer. And they say, what? Why? And you give a second answer, and they say, what? Why? And finally get to the point, you say, you know what? That's just the way it is. And they look at you like, really? That's the best answer you can give me? Like, you're an adult, you're supposed to be smart, and that's the answer, that's just the way it is? But unfortunately, what happens? Sometimes we do just to accept it. These little ones, in their innocence, are like, no. That's not right. That should not be happening. And sometimes we as adults can just say, well, it's just the way it is, right? We stop wanting to fight for what is right. So when that happens in our lives, we might say, well, you know what? If that's the way it is, then God could be the problem, or God could be irrelevant to our lives, and we walk away. Final characteristic I'd like to look at is love. Now, we all know that children can be the devil incarnate at times. We get that. But we do see that when trust and innocence come together, we can really see that pure love that children have. Now, this I wrote about this on my pastor's corner, so, but for those of you who can't read, I'll talk about it here, right? So last week, I was helping out over at St. Vincent's. Their associate had moved to his next assignment. The other one wasn't there yet. So Father Vic called me up and said, help. He put the bat signal up, and I said, sure, I'll come help out, right? So I went over and helped out over there. So at communion time, a father came up, and his little one, 5 or 6-year-old son, was right in front of him. So I went to give him the blessing, right? We make the sign of the cross over them. So when I reached down with my hand, he reached back up with his. And he had one of those little spinny toys. You know those things that's the rage right now? I have no idea why that's so cool, but kids like it. So he's like, look. I was like, that's very nice. He goes, do you have one of these? I said, I don't. And he thought for a second. He said, here, take mine. And I was like, oh, so beautiful. You know? I mean, here's the age of when the kid has a toy and you try to take a toy from a kid. We all know what happens, right? You know, global thermal nuclear meltdown. But all of a sudden, he was just like, here, take mine. You don't have one, I'll give you mine. I was just like, I really wanted to cry. It was so beautiful, you know? And I thought, this is love. This kid was saying, I'm going to take something that I really enjoy having and give it to you because you don't have it. And now I'm going to go without. And I thought, wow, this is the love that we should all have in our lives. Now, as we get older, what can happen? Love can start to look like a contract. I love you as long as you do what I tell you to do, right? And vice versa. And we can see where love becomes sort of this, you know, tit for tat. Well, that can happen with our relationship with God too. When things are going great, sure, God, I love you. But when things aren't going so great, it can be easy to say, hey, man, you're the problem, and walk away. So our relationship with God should be like the little ones. We should have this trust in God that says, yes, you are our Father, and you will provide for what we need. We should have this desire for innocence, no matter how old we get, that says we are made in the image and likeness of God and behave that way in everything we do. And then finally, we should love God, not because he'll give us stuff, but because who he is, our God and our Father. So why do some people believe and others don't? Ultimately, I cannot give an answer to that. We've at least addressed it. And I really believe that if we trust in God, if we strive for innocence and love God, there's a lot of things he wants to reveal to us.